Okay, back again for another episode, and in this one, there's plenty to talk about, as always. Nike continues to go all in on digital sneakers and apparel. They've dropped this teaser with Fortnite for this kind of ultimate sneaker hunt, treasure hunt style thing. Looks exciting. But is the rest of the NFT space doomed as we see another major collection officially call it quits? And we're diving into the wild world of what we're not being told, perhaps. The founder of Cardano is on a mission to possibly recover some alien matter.
Alien artifacts, yes. So why on earth are we talking about alien artifacts? Well, I guess you're going to have to find out, aren't you?
Okay, let's get into this then, and this is something to continuously pay attention to, because we are seeing Nike literally get all of their chips and go, we're all in on digital sneakers as NFTs being a thing, and subtly doing it in worlds that we all know. So we recently saw the EA Games announcement, which was a big one. We're going to see Nike digital sneakers, their Dot Swoosh Web3 brand, which is kind of their accessible sneakers to everybody, make it into games. We're not quite sure exactly what yet, probably Madden, maybe FIFA. This announcement is this trailer that they dropped on their own social accounts, which have 298 million followers. And it was a trailer that shows Nike in Fortnite and some sort of sneaker hunt going on here. It's happening on the 20th of June, so pretty shortly, whatever it is. But yeah, it's interesting to see them do this so shortly after EA Games. They've made their commitment and they are all in, right?
Well, there's tons of things to pick up on here. Obviously, Nike, big brand that kind of validates the metaverse and Web3, because there's two different things going on here. Fortnite, if you look at their roadmap, where they're going, they're all in on the metaverse. They haven't actually said that out loud, like properly said it out loud the way that Mark Zuckerberg did, but they are. They've designed a coding language called Verse for the metaverse. I mean, it's literally there. They are, within 2 years, hoping that Fortnite will have become a platform for the kind of vast open world experiences that we all think the metaverse will be. So there's that. And obviously Nike and Fortnite have partnered up previously with Janis, with Travis Scott, specific things, but they weren't Web3. That's what's got me kind of excited about this, because this is using Nike's Dot Swoosh Web3 brand. This gets a little bit more complicated because, as we know, Nike bought Artifact, and Artifact were like OG Web3 NFT peeps. Also, huge background in gaming. Chris Lee used to create CSGO skins. Like, they are embedded in gaming. So you wonder how much they've had to do with this, but there is no mention of Artifact in any of this. So it's kind of like, well, where does Artifact fit in exactly? But there's no doubt, one of the big question marks has always been, where does Web3 fit into all of this? Does it? Should we even give a shit about Web3? Because it's always like this, oh, Web3 is everything and it's disruptive and it's going to change everything. It's going to change money. But I suspect, along with everything else, that like it's not going to be like we disrupt everything. It's going to be this slow coalescing of all these different things. Web3 is a part of the metaverse story. It's not everything. But like, this is pretty damn like straight up, like there's no messing about here. You've got Adidas doing alts, you know, and it's like, yeah, this is legit.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see, and it's interesting as well, because Nike, as you say, have been in Fortnite lots of times already. We've seen Nike sneakers in Fortnite already. Fortnite have their own economy of skins and stuff that is rare, but no real trading marketplace there. So it's statement from them yet. Yeah, that might be what is coming as well. So it is very cool to see, for sure. For anyone who's not aware of Dot Swoosh, is a platform that they launched where you can kind of custom design sneakers. They did a drop recently and they're kind of continuing on the Air Force One story with what they're calling Our Force One as their digital sneaker company that is making it kind of available to everyone. And those reveals just happened as well, so they sold millions of dollars worth of those sneakers.
Yes, what did you think of the new Nike sneakers?
Yeah, I thought they were cool. I think it makes sense for anyone coming in new. It's kind of simple. They sort of messed up in classic NFT style. The original drop got delayed and stuff, so I was like, welcome newbies, come along, this is what happens in an NFT drop.
This is normal. It's part of the journey, it's part of the ride. Nothing works as advertised.
And then the reveals, like I did mine last night and I was like, okay, there's not much information about kind of what that means and everything, anything but them as seeing these kind of trailers drop. So there's enough there that's like, okay, this is interesting, and something is bubbling. But also the 3D files are being released very soon, so this feels like this is all going to coincide. So there is going to have the thing that is missing with a lot of the NFT space in the early days, of this utility of actually being able to do anything with your digital artifact sneakers.
Yeah,
you know, that's as that builds out, this is going to be
you need people who can build. You need people who can create stuff. And I think we've always assumed that 3D asset generation and 3D creation has always been sort of out of reach in a very specialized area of expertise. It still is. Now, let's be totally honest here. But it's becoming easier and easier for young game players to get their hands dirty with tools in Roblox, for instance. It's getting easier on Fortnite. It's not straightforward. Building in UFN, definitely not straightforward, but there's a lot of drag and drop that you can do in there, and you can kind of get busy with assets that already have logic built into them, which means you can kind of build a game pretty quickly. Like, I think it's fair to say that there are two things going on here. There's the market narrative, which is NFTs are down, crypto is down, crypto regulation is heavy on the horizon, and it's weighing everything down. But there's a cultural story to this, which is this stuff for these big brands makes enough sense for them to wave a very big stick at it, and they are. And I think it's just happening in front of our eyes right now. NFTs are being validated in the most kind of commercial and easy to adopt way possible. So that there's going to come a point within the next 18 months where it's just like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So what? It won't be remarkable anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, I mean, how this surely is playing out with Nike is that you can, you know, sign up to Dotswoosh and you have your account like you would on any other website, and that's how you've revealed your sneakers, and it all happens through their site. I mean, I would assume after this Fortnite thing and the EA Games things really launch, are they going to be built into the game where you log in with your Nike.swoosh account, and then you will be able to see your trainers and you'll be able to wear them in game? I mean, that seems like what is going to happen, and it's all sort of connecting slowly. Seems like it would make sense. The other big point of all of this, I think, which you kind of were mentioning there, and we've mentioned on the show before, but Fortnite particularly is kind of shaping up to be this next big distribution platform like YouTube has been over the last 10 years. And if you go back 15, 20 years, making video was really hard and was really expensive and was really difficult. And then YouTube kind of changed that. We had bedroom creators and everything that meant. This is the next wave. We are going to have bedroom game creators, right? And they are providing the tools that are, you know, getting creators to be able to start making video games themselves, which was never a possibility before. So this seems like the big major trend that is coming that's going to set up the next sort of league of creators for the next 10 years.
Yeah, so we have been playing around in Fortnite as the CEO of Based AF, which is our focus is the metaverse. We're a metaverse content studio. I mean, it makes sense for us. We have Unreal Engine expertise. We've got a mocap volume. We have the tools and the team to be able to do something with Fortnite. Whether that's going to be a revenue generating exercise or simply just a bit of fun, I'm not entirely sure yet. We need to kind of look at the numbers, but we have built a level in UEFN with a very specific purpose to it, which I can't say too much about, but we did release the trailer so you can see the gameplay. We're learning a huge amount in the process about how you build a game, how you turn basically a story into a playable thing. I think that's the thing that we're really, really, really careful about here. We are not game publishers, we're not game developers, but what we can do is create playable stories. So we do a video with a big story behind it, and then people can then, you know, go further and actually play the thing that they see in the video itself. And that's really exciting. And it also allows us to open up avenues of dialogue with larger people, larger creators in the space in a way that nobody else can. And it's because we've got the mocap volume, because we have this facility to shoot in that volume the way we can. That's also another point. We released another little test this week, which was me interviewing an NPC. So we used the same software that was demoed by NVIDIA at Computex, talking about NPCs that can actually converse with you in real time. So we used Conv AI to do that. And in the video, I am playing the part of two different people. There's an NPC, which is actually conversing with me in real time. And then I'm playing the part of Karma, which is our lord and mistress of Trashland. But what was so cool about it was we were able to shoot it in a virtual environment in real time. We didn't do any animation. We didn't do any rendering. This was just what was coming out of the game engine onto the camera in the volume. It's really hard for people to understand what I mean by that, but it's wild. It's absolutely wild. You get this cinematic CGI world that you can just be in, but in real time, as if you're shooting live action, and it just works. And so you can just, it's nuts. And I think I need to do another video where we explain just why it's so nuts and why it's such a game changer. Because like anyone who's come through from traditional animation and trying to get that level of performance into a character and into a scene, it's laborious. It takes a long time, but we're just like, yeah, press record. And then that's it. And then we edit with that. And so we can turn around stuff really fast and we can start kind of just really experimenting with what's possible with it. It's awesome. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's mad the difference speaking to people in telly or whatever, where you have a physical studio and physical cameras, and so you've got limited by that space and you film with those cameras, and then you do it in Unreal Engine and you have unlimited digital world, really, and cameras and multiple angles and everything, and you can after the fact go and choose different angles. It's completely like groundbreaking, really, isn't it, as a new form of media. But
it's funny because I'm looking at, for instance, Mr. Beast has this huge studio. It's a massive industrial unit with no vertical pillars. He can build as many sets as he wants in there, but that is very, very expensive. Very, very, very expensive. And I have unlimited power to create whatever I want in an 8-meter by 8-meter space, and I can spin it up in like 2 days. So it's basically that, and then I can shoot in there as if I'm shooting in the real world. Now there are limitations, of course, the interactivity, the ability to bring multiple people into that space, that's difficult, but obviously we choose our battles carefully. We're working on the interactivity part, having props that we can kind of work with, but we can track all those props in real time, and the studio is modular and upgradable, so we can add more cameras, we can upgrade the cameras themselves to a higher caliber of camera. And the thing that we're really struggling with at the moment, which is probably the hardest thing of all, is facial performance. But this week, MetaHuman Animator got switched on, which is the new kind of piece of software from Unreal Engine that allows you to record for like 10 minutes. And that's not even 10 minutes. You can do like a minute. Record your face with an iPhone, and then that can be turned into a model on a MetaHuman that really accurately tracks facial performance. It's not perfect, but in terms of just the ability to translate your performance and how your face moves into a believable performance on a MetaHuman, it's an absolutely massive leap forward. We saw it at GDC. We didn't know when it was going to come out, but it came out this week, and it's just nuts. I mean, if you're a creator looking to get your feet wet in Unreal Engine, now you have a MetaHuman that you can create for free, a highly detailed version. You can model up any way you want, and now you have a tool in MetaHuman Animator that allows you to use the phone that's in your pocket to drive a really high quality animation. All you need, though, is a bit of balls to get into the system itself and to start learning Unreal. But the tools are there, and boy, oh boy, it's pretty powerful stuff. This next story, which is the sunsetting of MV3. So MV3, a very ambitious Web3 NFT project, is closing down, and it's... I'm a little disappointed, a little bit sad. How much do you know about this one?
Yeah, I've been following it. So the backstory to this is, you may know the metaverse with the three in an Instagram account if you're into this space, and they started posting about the news of this space as the hype was happening, and they picked up a big Instagram following. So they're onto 1.3 million, they're a good sort of news source. And they started, during the bull market of NFT and metaverse stuff, their own project called MV3. They had some interesting people working on it. So one of the Stranger Things screenwriters, Jesse Nixon Lopez, who I think is related to the person who started this Instagram account, who is Roberto Nixon. And it was this kind of cross-media sci-fi universe that explores the collision of human and AI consciousness. Own a part of the next great franchise, become the story, was their sort of pitch for this new IP that they were creating. So they had a lot of hype. They had the sort of distribution on the Instagram platform to kind of get people excited about this. They had some interesting people working on it. And then Roberto, the guy behind it, released a statement saying they're shutting down further development on this project, with quite a long sort of mini essay and quite heartfelt as well, which was kind of sad to see, because everyone's, building in this space together. And he seems quite burnt and quite disappointed by just the whole NFT space as it was. And we kind of all knew as this was happening that 95% of stuff that is started, whether it's promise of a virtual world or whatever, was going to go to zero because it was just based on hype, right? And they didn't really have any long-term plan, and any good IP and good project takes a long time to build. We kind of knew that was happening. And he sort of talked about the whole space being deeply flawed and that the NFT market is the culture casino type thing, which is all built on speculation and whatever. But he's a smart guy. So it was like weird to hear him say this. I think he's right in lots of cases. But also, once you've been through a cycle or two, you also see this kind of sentiment right at the bottom point where everyone's been burnt and annoyed. And then, you know, on the flip side, we just talked about all of Nike's stuff happening. It's like, this isn't going away. It's just changed in how it's communicated. And you need people who are really good at stuff who've got a long-term plan to kind of take this through. So yeah, it was interesting, a bit sad to read, but also I think it's kind of a sign of the moment, and it's probably like a, not calling it exactly, but a bottomy type signal for this stuff, right? I think we go up from here in terms of...
Yeah, so much to unpack here. Firstly, they did a lot of things right. So they built distribution first through the MV, the Metaverse Instagram account, which had, last time I checked, had 1.5 million followers. Smashed it. Absolutely smashed it, rode the wave of the Metaverse hype. And it was a very simple informatics channel. They would just post interesting things, but capturing that conversation really neatly. And I think Roberto is very good at that. That's what he does. Jessie is his sister. So a Stranger Things writer. I interviewed her when I was working at The Defiant. Absolutely glorious human being, beautifully creative. The world that they built was, you know, in very safe hands in terms of the story that they wanted to create. And very ambitious. So the whole thing, extremely ambitious. I think it gets a little difficult when you're saying we want to disrupt Hollywood and we want to go for this very top tier thing, because I just don't think that you can really compete on that level. If you try to disrupt the big boys, then you are setting yourself up for a tough time, because they can outcompete you. And I think this is something that Yuga Labs probably is finding at the moment, like, despite however much money they might have, you know, it's definitely not enough to be really, really effective at this point. I mean, Roberto himself pivoted his content towards AI, and as a company that was like in the middle of that AI thing when we were trying to promote the Metaverse and be in that conversation, the AI sucked all the oxygen out of the room, literally everything, and crypto was in its sort of down phase. If you're in a community where every day you get asked the question, when moon, and like, you know, what are you delivering for us? And your answer has to be, well, we're building, and it takes time to build things, and it takes time to do this and do that. I think it can get really hard to trust the community that you have, because they turn on you so quickly. And community is such an important part of a Web3 property, unless they have a real reason to be there that isn't just you will make me money, then you're gonna have a really, really tough time. And I suspect they just burn out. Like, it's just super difficult. The thing that I will say though is that if you enter into this space and you are not mindful of the fact that there is a cycle, the Bitcoin goes up and it presents all of these amazing opportunities and creates wealth for people, and that you're not aware of the downside, and your entire business is predicated on Web3, then you really need to check yourself, because it's idiotic to think that a market that moves so much, so rapidly, in such crazy cycles, is strong foundations for a business. It makes no sense. You need to have other strands to your business, and you need to be able to create revenue even when the market is against you. And this is something that we think about all the time. Like, what are our revenue streams? How do we create revenue for Based AF in the middle of all of this, so that we're not completely reliant on NFTs, we're not completely reliant on Web3, because we can't be. It's stupid. It's fundamentally stupid to believe that that is a sustainable business model. So you have to have these other things in place as well, because if I'm sitting here waiting for mass adoption or for regulation to come along, it's just going to grind you out. And this is exactly what has happened here. Unfortunately, it looks like there was some mismanagement of funds as well. I have seen a spreadsheet with what they were spending on moderators, for instance, and I can sympathize, because when things are successful and you are managing a community and you have to put all these things in place very quickly, it's quite easy for things to get out of control. But also just things like, you know, $35,000 for a party or these kind of things, non-recoverable expenditure where there's no revenue attached to it. It's just, oh, we're having a party because everybody else is having a party. It's like, no. Be smarter, be wiser. And I think the problem is that Roberto looked as if he was, and it turns out that maybe they weren't. And I feel for them. But also at the same time, I have some issues with it. But, you know, good luck to them.
It's tough, and I feel bad for that situation on that point as well. Yeah, especially if you launch when there is the midst of the hype. Great launch, you'll make a lot of money to begin with, but you are setting yourself at a standard of excitement that is just impossible to maintain, because at some point it's going to turn, and if that's what things were, if that was the expectation people went in with, well then to sustain that is just, for whoever you are, is a really, really difficult task, isn't it? So yeah, a tough one. Quickly, who do you look at? I mean, Yuga's really interesting because they are not excluded from this situation as well, as Artifact and other companies that do have other aspects to their models, and Artifact have physical products and Yuga are building other side and everything else. Do you think they pull through and they have done enough to kind of to not rely on the market to sustain their model?
I mean, what's interesting is that Yuga basically has turned into a corporate, like in a very short space of time. They have a proper CEO, they have all this stuff in place. I mean, you know, that's A16Z just reshuffling top management. Wiley Arano has left for health reasons. And so he was really the kind of big gorilla in the room when it came to like the old school Yuga, but now they are, you know, basically just this massive company that needs to make money. And the good thing for Yuga is that they made a lot of money. Like, if you run the numbers over what they got from just royalties alone on the Bored Ape Yacht Club and the Mutants and everything else, I mean, they made absolutely ridiculous amount of money before the royalty tap got turned off. So in that case, yes, I think they're good. I think, for instance, Doodles raised a shit ton of money. I mean, a massively overinflated valuation as well. It's ridiculous, but they got the money in the bank. So if they just kind of huddle down and keep building stuff, they should be okay, because they have the funds in hand. I mean, you know, if you're a project like Accutars, raised 32 million in their NFT sale, 15,000 Accutars, and then cocked it up so badly that 32 million was stuck in a smart contract and they couldn't access it. It's one of the biggest cock-ups I've ever seen in my life. That project could have been so well funded. You know, and it's up to them whether they would have made good use of those funds, because there's so many examples of projects that just blew up because they had too much money. But yeah, I mean, what a screw up. It might well end up have been, you know, the best thing that could have happened to them, but that is a huge mistake. Artifact got tons of money in the bank. They're also owned by Nike now, so they're pretty kind of set and safe to build and create. And who else would we include in that? I mean, Pudgy's is forging its own path and is now probably seen as one of the most progressive and switched on NFT projects around. And it's interesting, you know, you thought Doodles would be that. They had Pharrell on board, they had all these things, but it just boils down to the fact that like NFT appetites shrink and collapse, and you just got to be in a position to be in cockroach mode for, you know, 3 out of every 6 years, if not, I mean, 3 out of every 5 years, you're just going to be like, and if
cockroach
you,
mode is a good, yeah, good line, basically, for sure. Just survive.
That's it. Just survive. And AI hasn't helped that. The macro conditions haven't helped that. There was a lot of chat about teams having to massively shrink, and if they weren't able to make the cuts, if they weren't able to make those tough decisions, then they don't deserve to be in business. But like, you've got to figure out your revenue streams. Otherwise, like, it's not a business.
All right, this next one then. Potentially, we talked about all these promises and of virtual worlds and hype and everything else. This next story is with a company who are one of the few who may pull it off and end up being a rival to Meta, Epic Games, Roblox, Microsoft in the metaverse space, partly because they have been around for 10 years already and have been building with this technology way before any of this stuff came along. If you're in the space, you probably know about them. If not, you've maybe never heard of them. But Improbable, CEO is Herman Nerula, who's been on the show before and has written an excellent book about his thoughts on this whole space as well. Most known in the kind of Web3 crypto land as the people who are helping build Yuga Labs' other side world. But this story is to do with really what they are building, and they're kind of building a whole infrastructure layer. So if you've got Fortnite and all of UEFN and their kind of ecosystem, that's bubbling and being amazing. You've got kind of the Roblox thing going on, Meta, okay, people are questioning the money they've spent, and Meta Horizons is kind of flailing a little bit, but is interesting, I think. Improbable, with their sort of another company under them, M Squared, are creating a sort of network of tools that builders can come and use, brands can come and use, and create their own virtual worlds that then all interconnect, and it's based in the decentralized world. So that's probably a bit of information if you're not into this stuff. But yeah, it's interesting. So a backstory on them: Improbable as a company have been working with this tech for years. They had some big military contracts where they were doing stuff in VR. They've built games before. And their big thing, which the technology which they've created, which I think is pretty unique to them, is solving the problem of having lots of players in one instance at the same time in a virtual world. So with many other virtual worlds, Roblox and Fortnite as well, you can't have every single player in the same space at the same time for various reasons. But they, Improbable, are able to do that and have proved they can do it with 7,200 players already. And they're hoping to scale that to 10,000 people in the same space with spatial audio. And they've demonstrated that on the other side trips where people have been able to go and experience that. So that's something that they specifically have that a lot of other companies who are promising to build virtual worlds just don't have that technology. Google, Nvidia, and a Japanese company, Ubitus, are also partners with them. And their vision for this M Squared kind of network of virtual worlds is that it's all very open and accessible, and you don't need to download a program to go on it. So it's going to be cloud-based, so you just need a browser, eventually mobile as well. You don't need to wear a headset. It's going to be on desktop. So yeah, this is one of the companies who might be able to bring this vision to life, unlike many of the others who promised it. So what's your take on what they're doing?
Yeah, well, I've actually got his book right here, Virtual Worlds.
It's good, isn't it? Very good. Yeah,
it's an interesting one because I read Matthew Ball's book about the metaverse, which is very dry. And it's a hard one to get through. This is Herman's take on the reason why we would ever want metaverses. Because I think there's a lot of pushback on this. Like, why would we want to spend our time in these virtual worlds and just closed off from the real world when the real world is so rich and meaningful in its own right? And he makes the good, the fair point that human beings have been creating essentially virtual worlds for millennia. And if you think about the ancient Romans, the gods exist in this kind of virtual soap opera where they're interacting with the world. And it's always been human beings' prerogative to create stories to explain the world around them. Like, the sun is eclipsed. It was the gods that did it. Now we know it's celestial bodies moving in front of each other. But that's how they created value systems for themselves that could then be translated back into the real world. And that really is the central thesis of this book, which is there's value to be created. And when we say value, it doesn't necessarily mean financial value. It can be emotional value, satisfaction, fulfillment, all these different kinds of things that are perhaps lacking in our day-to-day world. And it asks you to make some reassessments of how you think about, for instance, work. What is work? If I'm a gamer and I'm playing a game and I'm earning money on that, that's work, but it's also play. And am I more fulfilled than someone that turns up to an office, sits at a desk and crunches numbers all day long? Quite possibly. Yeah, so thinking about virtual worlds in terms of that. It's the basis, of course, for what they've done with Improbable. Improbable is the foundational layer, at the moment at least, as far as we know, for Yuga Labs' huge kind of MMORPG experiment called The Other Side, which has, it's massively ambitious. But one of the big promises of that was it would allow thousands of people simultaneously to enter a space and get jiggy with it. And it works. That's the crazy thing. I participated in another side trip, and it's wild. It's unlike anything else you've ever experienced. It is an orgy of sound and silliness. But that's great, and it's not something you've ever been able to experience before, because yes, you can drop 100 people on a Fortnite island, but that's really all you can do. And it very, very quickly reduces them. So by the time they're actually all in the same graphical, physical space, there's only like 4 people left. And of course, then you have instances. And we've played around with trying to get quite a lot of people into a Web3 platform like Moniverse. Like, you quickly realize that it just breaks down if you have too many people in there. And that's just because, it's expensive to have that level of networking up and running and functioning all the time. So if you don't need it, you don't run it. And so it's a sort of supply and demand question. I think one of the really interesting things about what M Squared is doing, and Improbable are doing is they're very much building, as you said, this open system. And there's a couple of different components to that. One of them is MML, which is an open source web-based language and toolchain. It's basically a metaverse markup language. So this is, if you're familiar with JavaScript and HTML, and you build websites and these kind of things, it's designed to be super simple for you to use the same sort of tools that you're familiar with to build in metaverse worlds. And they have a version of this called the Construct. And we know that it works because we went in and we tried it, and some people from our community built a Fraz experience in there. So you can actually go into the Construct right now and see a little game where you can see my face as my metaverse version of myself with pink hair talking about Fraz, but we're in there. So you can already go and play around and build. Now, the aesthetic of the thing is kind of weird, and it's bathed in this sort of strange soft glow. But I don't quite know what engine they're using to power it, whether it's a version of Unreal, whether it's their own engine. Not sure. I don't have the specifics on that. But what's absolutely 100% clear is that this is working in a browser right now. And it's the in-browser bit that's really important. Because if you want to play Fortnite, for instance, it's like a 40, 50 gig package you have to download to your high-grade PC. And I think the kind of next big frontier, and I think you've talked about this in terms of VR as well, is pixel streaming. So it's the cloud computing and pixel streaming, so that I, as a casual participant, don't have to have a high-powered PC. I just need a browser. And then you can really open up accessibility to millions and millions of people simultaneously, which is really interesting. And so to see Improbable kind of delivering and executing on stuff in this way is cool. And it's literally just about like who right now can get in and build stuff. So someone from our community who does build websites just got in and started building stuff and said it was super easy. And so they just started tinkering around, and like, it was incredible to see this. So, I mean, from our point of view, obviously we look at Fortnite as a platform we would build on, and that's highly gamified and it's really interesting. But there's no reason why we can't also play around with this open source and create things in there. It's super early, all of this stuff, but it does show you that there are companies that are very committed to this idea of open source. We know Adobe and Nvidia are massively committed to it. We know that with Verse, the coding language in UEFN, they're trying to get to open standards that everyone can adopt. It just feels like everything's going to kind of start conversing with each other. It always felt like this thing that was impossible and shouldn't happen, but that's because games, as they are at the moment, just exist in these very deep vertical pillars. So why would a Call of Duty skin live in Roblox? I mean, it makes no sense. But if games are starting to be designed with this in mind, then it will make a lot more sense. You know, like Fortnite has all sorts of weird and wonderful different characters. You don't care that they're from different worlds or different IP. It's totally fine. So it's a really interesting time seeing this come out. There's also Lamina 1 from Neil Stephenson and the team there. They're building this Layer 1 metaverse focused piece of infrastructure as well. I don't know how all this stuff connects to each other, but like, just to see it there and to see what's going on from people who actually know how to execute, who actually know how to deliver stuff. And as you rightly said, like, they've been doing this for years. They started the idea of M squared in 2012, I think it was. This is not just kind of grown up overnight. This is mature, well-considered technology. And we definitely need to have Herman on the show. I think we need him on as soon as possible to have a chat about this, because he's a fascinating dude. The other thing I would say is that when you launch the Construct, it's launched on NVIDIA. It's an NVIDIA-hosted piece of content. And that gives you a huge amount of confidence, because NVIDIA are like absolutely killing it at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like if this vision that people talked about before is going to happen, they stand a really good chance of being the people who build it, and it works, and they're proving it works as they go along, which is what a lot of people haven't been doing. So yeah, it's interesting one to follow for sure. Should we move on to the next story about woolly mammoth and aliens?
Yeah, I mean, look, Charles Hoskinson, who's the highly entertaining CEO of IOHK Input Output Hong Kong, which is the company that basically administers Cardano, the great peer-reviewed layer one scalable blockchain. I have a lot of things to say about Cardano. I have said them publicly. I get a lot of crap for that because I find it very difficult to understand why you would bother with Cardano. But I mean, I've said that before publicly, and I hold to that because they promise a lot and they don't deliver a lot. But There is a, well, there's an artifact at the bottom of the ocean about the shape of a watermelon that appears to have fallen from the sky. And NASA have confirmed that it does exist. But obviously going to the bottom of the ocean and digging these things up and determining whether they are of alien origin is expensive. And Hoskinson, Charles Hoskinson, is funding this. So Charles is getting
He as a character, I don't know the man, but he seems like a guy who's made so much money from crypto that now he's not quite sure what to do. So
a fascinating story. It's a fascinating story. Like, so there's like this elite group of engineers who were the founders of Ethereum who sat in a room together and argued at great length about what they should do with Ethereum. And Charles Hoskinson was one of those people, as was Gavin Wood, as was Vitalik. Charles Hoskinson left in a huff and founded his own blockchain. Gavin Wood also left, probably not in a huff, and founded Polkadot. So they've all gone on to do their own thing. And Charles Hoskinson, he is an interesting dude. There's pictures of him online in like Afghan falconing gear. I mean, he flies falcons. He's just fascinating dude, and just incapable, it seems, of not tripping over his own feet. But he does these lengthy video chats where he's, "Hi, Charles Hoskinson here from," and then he just goes off and starts talking about Cardano. It's almost cult-like, but you know, if you believe in Cardano, good for you. But what he's doing here is he's getting his James Cameron freak on and trying to do some exploring. I think the reason I brought this up was that we're talking about virtual worlds, right? We're talking about fantasy worlds that we're going to conjure up out of our imagination. And there's nothing kind of quite like UFOs and this idea of, are we alone in the universe? And, you know, the stories have been out there recently that this whistleblower from the US government, David Grush, claims that the US government has been hoarding alien craft and has tons of evidence to prove it. So the UFO narrative has been springing up. But I tend to think, like, when in times of uncertainty, when particularly like in the light of AI and technology and everything else, we start to kind of build these stories around that explains everything. And like, I don't know what's going on, but there must be an explanation for it. It's like, the government is doing it. So it's, in a sense, it's another kind of virtual world, right? The conspiracies around it, and then the counter narrative, and the narrative, and the counter narrative. Someone's been sending me like flat Earth stuff recently. Like, no, I've been looking back at this evidence, like, and then sent me another video, which is like, this is Stanley Kubrick admitting that he faked the moon landing, and it was his greatest film. And I'm like, that doesn't look like him, doesn't sound like him, and it's completely
also
untrue.
CGI was rubbish then, so I don't know how that happened. Yeah, that's
no, it's garbage. It's garbage. So
well, there was a couple of quotes from Charles Hoskinson just that I loved. That yes. He said, "I've always wanted to eat a dodo egg, and soon I'll have the chance." So he also funded a startup that's trying to bring back extinct animals like the woolly mammoth, the Tasmanian tiger, and the dodo. He then, with this alien mission, has flown a load of scientists on his private jet that sometimes Metallica used, which I thought was cool, to try and recover fragments of this interstellar meteor. So I think NASA have confirmed that it's not from this galaxy,
yes,
or solar system.
No, there's no doubt that this is a fascinating expedition to go on. I would love to be on that boat, because I find all this stuff immensely interesting, like the deep ocean, exploring the stars. I'm fascinated by space travel, because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a storyteller. My imagination likes to be tickled, so these things they get me. But it's just because it's Charles Hoskinson. He's just such a hard character to like. He's like the flashy Rolex kind of nerd done good, and it's like it's tough. I have a tough time with it.
The most hilarious outcome of all of this would be that if crypto, for all its highs and lows and nonsense at times, just does confirm the discovery of aliens, and it funded that, then that would be a story that nobody predicted. And
game changer.
Yeah,
you're not gonna believe what happened this week.
Yeah, remember last week when we thought we'd heard it all? No, there's more.
It's like, chill out, technology.
Slow down. Should we wrap up with what's coming to Based this week? Tell us what we can look forward to.
Yes, well, we have a film. I mean, hopefully I'll be able to show a little bit more about the Blade Runner inspired NPC chat that we did, because that's the bit that gets me most excited. It's just, you know, the thing that I've been trying to build for the last 6 months finally actually works, and it works really well. We are building towards the release of this UEFN map and what that's going to be, but that's sort of further down the line. And we're going to be doing a profile of Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, who's also a fascinating guy, really. That the story of NVIDIA and how they've managed to pivot and stay relevant and keep pivoting and stay relevant, and this huge bet they made on AI back in like 2012, it was. To see that coming from 10 years out, very impressive. Just a fascinating company. And obviously, NVIDIA now positioning itself as this central hub for all these different technologies that connect to and inform the metaverse. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up buying Epic. I could see that move happening. That would be quite a thing. But I don't know if the American Monopolies Commission will allow them to do that, because they seem to be hell-bent on preventing mergers of large technology companies at all costs at the moment. But still, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Really interesting.
Good stuff. All right, well, plenty there, and yeah, plenty on the channel this week as well. So hit subscribe on YouTube if you're watching there, or follow on the podcast platform, and that's probably the pod, I reckon.
I think that is the pod, and what a pod it was.
What a pod. Peace.
Peace.